أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful, the praise, the thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise, the thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him, we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to stray, there is none that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in his book, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him, and do not die unless you are Muslims. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds, and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with the sadiqeen, those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has said in His book, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yasin, wal Qur'anil Hakim, innaka laminal mursaleen. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, Yasin, and by the Quran al-Hakim, full of wisdom. Wal Quran al-Hakim, or by the wise Quran. Innaka lamin al-mursaleen. Surely you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, are from those who were sent, meaning from the prophets and messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, today we would like to discuss this beautiful surah that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of the pearls of the heart of the Holy Quran. Now, Surah Yasin is the 36th surah of the Holy Quran, and of course Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But what does this title, these two letters, Yasin, what do they mean? What is the significance? Why did Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name this surah as such? We can look at some of the other surah of the Holy Quran, like Suratul Fatiha. We know that it has gained its name from its purpose, Fath al-Quran. It opens the Holy Quran. And that one of its other names is Suratul Hamd, because it begins with, after the Basmala, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We can look at other surahs, like Suratul Fil, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the companions of the elephant? And so thus it's named as Suratul Fil. So many of the chapters or the surahs of the Holy Quran take its name from some subject or some title or some purpose. Some are obvious, some not so, and Surah Yasin is one of those. So what does this Yasin mean? Since the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even until now, scholars have debated and deliberated about the meaning of these two letters, Yasin. And although thousands of esteemed scholars in every era have given sound opinions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Some have mentioned that Yasin actually was the name of the man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. That this person, رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى, they say that was his name. His name was Yasin. And of course Allah knows best. Some have their opinion. And there are still others, among them Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who have said that Yasin means Ya Insan, O people. Others have said that it is one of the great names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and still others have said that it means Ya Sayyid, O Sayyid, as we call Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna, and he is. He is our master. He is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the criterion for mercy in this ummah. Following his example gains us, inshallah ta'ala, should Allah accept it from us, mercy, forgiveness, and Jannah, inshallah. So this, of course, are just some of the many, many, many opinions that people have with regards to these two letters. And of course, as we've said before, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, its revelation, the revelation of Surah Yasin, it was one of the surahs that were revealed in Mecca, and it was revealed approximately among the middle, if you take all of the surahs that were revealed in Mecca as a whole, roughly about the middle. If you number them and say, okay, this is how many surahs were revealed, it's roughly in the middle of all the surahs that were revealed in Mecca. And what's so unique, inshallah, about this surah is that it in fact covers all of the aspects of Iman. When we mean Iman, specifically we're referring to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Umar ibn Khattab to radiyallahu an to witness when he was sitting with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Iman has six parts. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, as the hadith goes, and we should all know, what is Islam? And then he asked him, what was Iman? And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him it's six parts. This surah, Surah Yasin, covers each of those six aspects of Iman in a way that no other surah does. Many Meccan surahs were revealed before this surah, of course. Surah Sa'd, Surah A'raf, Surah Qaf, Surah An-Najm. They all discuss some aspect of Iman, but not like Surah Yasin. And even the Meccan surahs which revealed after Surah Yasin, which describes and explains faith, Iman, they still did not cover the faith. These surahs that were revealed, they touched on it, but not like Surah Yasin. And even though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam detailed parts of the faith and later hadith, still Surah Yasin is the apex of the surahs which covers all parts of Iman. So we must know what Iman means and what the parts of the faith are which are mentioned in Surah Yasin. Again, we refer to the hadith as reported in the books of Muslim and narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that faith or Iman is actually divided into 70 parts. And in Bukhari, the hadith states that more than 60 parts. And it continues by saying the apex or the utmost part of faith, the utmost part of Iman, is to say, and of course believe, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And the bottom of faith is to remove from the road that which is harmful to others. And shyness is a part of Iman, faith. Some of us may understand shyness to mean modesty. Modesty is a part of faith. In the top parts of Iman, the parts in which Jibreel alayhi salam named for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, these six beliefs were summarized. For those of us who may not know, the six beliefs, or Iman as it is called, is number one, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one and only, as not having any parts, as not being one that is comprised of smaller things, and or one that can be divided into smaller things. He is unique in his oneness. To believe in his angels, to believe in his books, to believe in his messengers, to believe in the last day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and to believe and have faith in the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in divine destiny, that what he has written will be for you and me, period. Surah Yasin, subhanallah, it covers all of these areas of Iman. Granted, though it is the peak of the Meccan surahs where it comes to covering these six aspects of faith, and the way that it does it, it does have similarities to other surahs. When we look at the Holy Quran, we can look at Surah As-Sa'd. And like Surah Yasin, it mentions the prophets Their examples describes Jannah and describes the hellfire. It mentions the arrogance of shaitan and speaks about the Holy Quran as the seal of the books of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still it does not mention the other aspects of Iman. We can say the same about Surah Al-Qaf, which describes what we need to know about the Day of Judgment and shows how all of the prophets and messengers were denied by the human being. Surah Al-A'raf is another surah, chapter 7 of the Holy Quran, in which Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he focuses on the two types of worship, and that the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, leads to paradise, while the worship of the shaitan leads to the fire. And in it, he also informs us about the beginning of the creation and how Iblis will be proud until the Day of Judgment, and that he describes what will happen after the Day of Judgment. Surah Al-A'raf, it even focuses on the hatred of the shaitan for the human being and how he is working to attract him and deceive him and what the result will be for those who follow the shaitan and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give as reward to those who obey him. And even Surah Al-A'raf or Surah Al-A'raf, it ends with sajda as a reminder for the Muslim that this is what the shaitan refused to do, and by doing this, this is why you will beat him at his game, and that you will be rewarded. Because the shaitan, he refused to what? He refused to make sajda. But yet with all of this, Surah Al-A'raf does not encompass each aspect of Iman. And this is one of the reasons why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wished that this surah be in the heart of every human being, and especially every mu'min. So what is the secret of this surah? What is it that we need to discover about Surah Yasin? What are some of the pearls of this surah? This surah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in various hadith, describing its uniqueness and its value and its benefits. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, suffice it to say that if you don't know this surah, you should make the time and take the opportunity to try to memorize it by heart. Memorize it in its language. And inshallah ta'ala that Allah will confer upon you its great blessings, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, in this life and in the next. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, before we review some of the ni'mah, the blessings that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred upon this surah, it's worth mention and noting the circumstances in which this surah was revealed. One of the beautiful aspects that we should study is that the Holy Quran was revealed in real time. What I mean by that is that as circumstances would arise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send down relevant ayah immediately. Each ayah of the Holy Quran has an obvious relationship to what happened at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then an impact or a relationship to something that will happen in the future. And that the Quran, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is always revealing itself. This is one of the mu'ajiza, one of the miracles of the Holy Quran. It is continuing even now to reveal itself, to have an impact, though there was a reason, a sabab, a reason for the descent of some of these ayahs, they also have impact and value and note and worth and relevance to today. I never forget, I was in a presentation and there was a discussion about the Bible. And someone who, subhanAllah, professed to be a pastor, a woman, called the Bible a dead book. Can you believe that? A pastor calling the Bible, the very foundation of her faith, a dead book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that this Quran is His word and He is Al-Hayy. He is the ever-living. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing the Quran to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is His lasting miracle. His lasting miracle. Think about this. In the 6th century, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, and in the 7th century, when he received the wahi, they had no idea about a space shuttle or rockets. They didn't know what that would even look like. And yet, here's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ma'ashar al-jinni wal-insi, O gathering of jinn, which we cannot see, and men, if you can pass beyond the boundaries of heaven and earth, pass, but you will not be able to do so except bi sultan, by permission and authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know what that looks like. They didn't. And that's one of the aspects of the Quran revealing itself. That for them, they were just like, oh, okay, subhanAllah. And they may have some understanding. But we see it. It's commonplace for us. This is just one of the many, 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 many examples of the Quran still for every era, for every time, that it will reveal an aspect of the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us speak briefly about the circumstances in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yasin. When Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to announce al-Islam and invite the people to the truth, and to destroy the idols and idol worship, the people of Mecca became furious. And they began to say, who is going to destroy our idols? Just show me where he is, and I'll show you what I will do to him. One of the aspects of the Arab at that time of Jahiliyyah was that they relished Jahiliyyah. So when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard of this, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed what he should do. So he went to the Kaaba and stood openly before the people. And once he had their undivided attention, he recited Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yasin, Wal Qur'anil Hakim, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ تَنْزِيلَ الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِنَّا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مكمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون صدق الله العظيم. ياسين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين by the Quran Al-Hakim, full of wisdom or the wise Quran, surely you are one of the messengers on a straight path. This is a revelation sent down by the Almighty, the Most Merciful, in order that you may warn a people whose forefathers were not warned, so they were heedless. Indeed, the word has been proven true against most of them, so they will not believe. Surely, we have put on their necks iron collars reaching to their chins, so that their heads are forced up. And we have put a barrier before them and a barrier behind them. And we have covered them up so they cannot see. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then took dust from the ground and threw it in their faces. And as he flung the dust, the people found themselves paralyzed. Nor could they open their mouths, and nor could they see. All they could do was stand and listen. Once Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restored them, they stood in awe. And some among them said they had never heard words like this. And this was the first time that these ayah were revealed. From this we can deduce, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the connection between these ayah and the event. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "Inna ja'alna fi a'naqihim aghlalan fahiya ila al-adhqani fahum mukmahun." وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in these ayah that surely we have put on their necks collars, iron collars specifically, reaching to their chin so their heads are forced up. And we have placed a barrier before them and behind them and have covered them up so that they can't see. This is what happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throw this dust. This overcame them. This was their state. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in Surah Yasin. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the same is true as we know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave for Medina. While the Quraysh had assembled a gathering of all of the powerful tribes, and we also know that in attendance of this meeting was the one who called himself Sheikh An-Najd, the respected man from the Najd, an area we now know to be near Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And that as they tried to figure out what they were going to do with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would they rid themselves of this nuisance? They said, well, maybe we should simply, kill him outright. And Sheikh An-Najd, he said, no, don't do that. And others suggested other things. And the Sheikh of Najd, he said, no, that doesn't make sense either. And then they came to the opinion that, well, why don't we all gather 40 of our fiercest warriors and have them surround his home and all of them kill him, all of them strike a death blow, so that his blood is shared among all the tribes, and Bani Hashim, his tribe, will not have a way to fight back, all of us, and we'll simply just play the blood money. Sheikh An-Najd, he said, yes, excellent idea. That will work. We later know, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that the Sheikh of An-Najd was in fact Iblis in person. That Shaytan himself counseled the Quraysh on this evil intention. And so they sent their fiercest warriors to the house of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 40 of them. And they came upon the house at night by stealth. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he entrusted his loyal cousin, Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah have mercy upon him and be pleased with him, that he took his life basically in his hands and offered himself to be a decoy. Now, mind you, Allah had mercy upon Ali radiallahu anhu, in that they didn't just decide to shoot arrows at the blanket that they thought were Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They waited to be able to see him with their eyes, as opposed to just attack. But the odd thing, or the miraculous thing, is that when morning came and a man who had been watching the warriors gathered, and then he came up on him and he said, "Y'all didn't see what just happened? What are you doing here?" He said, "We're waiting upon Muhammad." He said, "He just left. Y'all didn't see him?" He said, "What you mean he just left?" He said, "He came out and put dust on your foreheads. Look." He said, "I saw him. He came out and each one of you, he put dust on top of your foreheads and then walked right in front of your face and left." And they got angry until they touched the hair and they saw dust was on top of their heads. And the man was like amazed at them, like, "Really, y'all didn't see this?" And they still didn't believe him until they rushed in and found the blanket and uncovered it and saw Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anh sleeping in the bed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How was this accomplished, dear Muslim brothers and sisters? These same ayahs that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had recited at the Kaaba, he recited as he walked out of his door. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them to be blind. فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, and they cannot see. Now the question really here is this. These ayahs are still with us. This is part of the Holy Quran. And this is something that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did on both occasions that had an effect. So, is this just for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is this something that does not have still import for the mu'min today? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what we must understand is that as long as the Quran is with us, its ni'mah is with us. As long as those ayah are with us, its ni'mah is with us. Its blessing, its reward, its miraculousness is with us. So we have an opportunity to have a deeper understanding. We have an opportunity to make use of this utility. If we purify the connection, if we purify, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah at-tayyib wa la yaqbalu illa tayyib. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not doubt Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't disobey Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was his servant and he sami'na wa ata'na. He listened, he heard, and he obeyed. This is purification of the connection. If we want to make use of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, if we want it to have an effect, then we have to make sure that when we connect, it's pure. It's a lot like your battery in your car. When it's corroded, connection don't work so well. If that's interrupted with dirt, then that charge won't make it through. and you have a dead connection, it won't work for you. The same is true here, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say about Quran? In it is shafa'un wa rahma, cures and mercy. It wasn't just for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's for you too. That is part of the mu'ajizah. That is part of its miracle. What we have to do is purify our relationship with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that it will take effect in our lives and work for us just as it worked for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are not things that are unique in this case. These are not things that are left off for you that we read as this, oh yeah, that was a miracle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not when it comes to this. Not when it comes to this Quran specifically. Not when it comes to the Quran. And you may say, oh, that's unbelievable. That's your problem. You don't believe. That's your problem. We have more faith in a prescription from a doctor than the prescription from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do. We got a problem. We have more faith that what things that they have assembled from where? From the earth. Who created it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just put it in a pretty package in a bottle and made it a pill. And even still, they got little words on there to say, side effects may include. So though it may heal, it also may hurt. But that's not the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it heals, it is complete. Without side effect, without harm. What's the problem? Not having faith in what Allah has sent down. Surely it is shafa'un wa rahmah. It is a cure and a mercy. If we have doubt about this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, wama azibukum, I will not punish them as long as you are among them, and I will not punish them as long as they ask for forgiveness. So this is a clue that this is a continuing ni'mah, even though Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not among us. It is a shafa'un wa rahmah. And Surah Yasin is one of those surahs that contain many, 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 many pearls, jewels, precious things that we can't even begin to count. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as we mentioned, this surah, it covers all of the aspects of Iman. And unfortunately, we are out of time. So maybe be in the letter Ali, we discuss them in another khutbah. But wallahi al-azim, suffice it to say, and we will end be in the letter Ali with this hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Abu Bakr and Anas bin Malik. May Allah be pleased with them. He said, for everything, there is a heart. And the heart of the Holy Quran is Surah Yasin. Whoever reads Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him as if he had read the Holy Quran 10 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Surah Taha and Yasin, 1,000 years before he created creation. And when the angels heard what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they said, congratulations to the nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends this upon. Congratulations to the chests that carries it and the tongues that recite it. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that this surah was revealed in the Torah as al-mu'imma. So they asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, What does al-mu'imma mean? And he replied, it means that this is the thing that blesses whoever carries it with the good of the dunya and the good of the akhirah. And that it will defend you from all of the humiliation of the dunya and all of the problems that you may face. And it will push away from you any horrible problems in the dunya and push away any horrible problems for you in the end. Her name is also Al-Mudafi'a Al-Qadiyah, which means that she will defend whoever carries her from any problem and brings him anything that he is looking for. Mudafi means multiply, multiply, multiply. Whoever reads it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him as if he made Hajj 20 times. And whoever hears it, it is like he had donated 1,000 dinars into the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Chapter 36, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Surah Yasin. Please, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, don't let it collect dust on your shelf. Don't keep it away from your tongue. Introduce it to your heart by doing your best to memorize it. As we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives twice the reward for those who try to recite the Quran and have difficulty. So that is even more incentive to try. Make the attempt. Listen to it at the very least. Listen to it. Do not deprive yourselves, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. This is a great blessing. Nothing can compare to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts some blessing in something. You have no idea where it will end. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with every ni'mah that He has placed in Surah Yasin. Grant us to be the carriers of this surah in our hearts and bless us with its intercession in the grave and on the day of judgment. Ameen. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر وبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر